Matthew 27, verse number 1. Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. And Lord, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would manifest himself here today. That God, you just have your will and way in every heart that's present. That Lord, any foul or unclean spirit would be bound and cast out of our presence. Father, I just ask you to have your will and way now. And Lord, we're mindful of those that could not be here this morning due to illness. We're mindful of those, Father, that just need a touch from you, God, today to help heal them and to strengthen them and to help them to be back in their places. And Father, we ask now that you'd meet the needs. God, that you would do that which seemeth thee good, Father, and tend to those that are here. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, Pontius Pilate is now faced with Jesus Christ being brought before him. And he has to make a decision about Jesus. And it's a personal decision. When you think about it, no one can make it for Pilate. It's his job. It's his position. They've come to him and they've said, all right, time to decide. It is a pressured decision. The decision must be made today. It wasn't going to wait. The more he tried to stall, the more he tried to push the decision away, the greater the pressure came to make a decision, to get it done now. His family, we find in verse 19, his wife sent a message to him and tried to persuade him. There was a crowd that was outside pushing to persuade him. Undoubtedly, he had thought about his future as governor in the process of this decision that he had to make. How would it reflect all the way back to Rome? What would Caesar have to say about this decision that he was about to make? It is the most important decision that Pilate ever made. You know Pontius Pilate only because of this decision that he had to make that day. He wouldn't be in there if it wasn't for this decision. And you know him, and you know what he did and what he decided. It would be the benchmark of his life, this decision. And Pilate has to come to a conclusion in his own mind. He has to do what he believes is right and act upon that. And Pilate, in the process here, he asks five questions. And I want to look at these five questions and talk about them for a little bit here this morning, because you as an individual must also make the decision about Jesus Christ. You must have to come to that place where you get it firmly settled in your heart what is right, and to believe it and to do it. And so I want to look at these questions, and I want to ask them and put them forth to you as well. In verse number 11, we find the first question. It says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying," question number one, "Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest it." Art thou the king of the Jews? In other words, are you really who you claim to be? This is the question that is asked repeatedly in our society today. If you ever watch the History Channel, if you watch National Geographic, they are always questioning who Jesus really was. What was it really about Jesus? Did this really happen? Was he really born of a virgin? Did this really take place? Was the miracles? What happened there? Was he really the Son of God? And they question it. The Bible states quite clearly that Jesus is the Son of God. Yet the Pharisees refused to believe it. The devil even tried to disprove it. You remember in the temptation what the devil kept saying? If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be. He always casting doubt. And so here Pilate says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Now he had already heard that Jesus said he was king of the Jews, and he already knew it. But he had to ask, and he asked that question, and he said, "Art thou the Son of God? Art thou the King of the Jews? Art thou who you say you are?" You know, the Bible tells us he was the Son of God. The Bible tells us that God was manifest in the flesh, that he came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We find in another place where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He was God's means of redemption. The Bible is very clear about it. And you have to say to yourself this morning, do you really believe it? Is it really something that you would make a decision on today? Everybody has to decide it. Art thou the king of the Jews? Are you really Jesus Christ? Are you really the Son of God? Are you really virgin born? Did you really give your life a ransom for all? Did you shed your blood? Did you get buried? Did you rise again? Did you get that settled yet? You got to make a decision. Pilate had to decide, is he really who he said he was? You have to decide as well this morning. I want you to look at this second question that he asked. Verse 13. "Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? You know, there are always many witnesses against the Lord. Did you know that? Especially in the day in which we live. It seems like anything that has to do with Jesus Christ is going to be outlawed soon. You want to put up a nativity set? Not in this homeowners association. Oh, you want to put up and depict the Christmas scene somewhere? You can't do it down at City Hall. Oh, you want to sing a little Christmas song and put on a Christmas play? Well, you can't do it in the public school. You see, there's many witnesses today against Christ. There are those that are of the atheist view. Those that say there is no God and Christ is a lie. All of it's a lie. That's what they believe. They make that profession and then spend the rest of their life trying to prove it to themselves and everybody around them. You have the agnostics that are out there that say it is impossible to know the truth. There's no real knowledge to be had. And we can't discern it for certain. There are the evolutionists that say that it all just happened. We just evolved into what we are. And you know, the one question that an evolutionist cannot answer is, where did it all start from? Because evolving requires something to be in existence. And then it changes and it evolves and turns into something else. And so my question to the evolutionist always is this. What evolved? How did it evolve? Where did it come from? And then they'll go back to there was this cosmic soup somewhere, and somewhere in the cosmos a spark of lightning struck, and the electricity lit the pool on fire, and life was born. Well, it sounds good. Where did the cosmic soup come from? Where did the lightning, the electricity, isn't that a positive and a negative charge? Where did those come from? How did all of this happen? They have no answer. You could go to the secular humanists today that believe that man is the answer. You don't have to worry about anything supernatural. We are the answer. We can solve the problems. We can take care of the planet. We can plan the future population of the universe. We just have to fan the goodness that is naturally in mankind, and they will solve the world's problems. Boy, that's pretty much what's going on in Washington right now. We know better. Trust us. We'll take care of it. We've got it all worked out. And we have wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and diseases going on. Every day there's some new thing coming out. You know, flesh-eating diseases. They got this kind of parasite and that thing coming on. They're doing a wonderful job, aren't they? But they witness against Christ. They talk about him. They talk against him. You have the Satanists who believe the devil is more powerful than the Lord, which of course you know is a lie. You have the Jehovah Witnesses that are out there saying that Jesus is just a man. The Jehovah Witnesses are working against God and against Christ and against the redemption. They are the enemies of the cross. And don't make any mistake about it. They are out there undermining the very gospel, trying to tell people that Christ wasn't who he said he was. You have the Mormons that say that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, begotten of a man God with a woman. Blasphemy. But they believe it, and people think, well, they're Christians like we are. No, they are witnesses against what the Bible reveals Christ was like and who he was. All these lift their voices and cry out against what the Bible says concerning Christ. They amass what they consider as evidence to disprove his claims. They try to explain away his existence. They try to justify their rejection of his love and the mercy that is offered to him. That day outside the palace, they cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar! He spoke against the law! He did this! He did that! Crucify him! Crucify him!" That's the witness of the mob. Hearest thou how many things they witness against thee? You can hear the multitude. Pilate had to make a decision that day. Was the crowd right? Were these Christ-rejecting, bloodthirsty mob of people out there right? Should I side with them? What should I do? Did he have the strength and the character to stand for what is right? Is it all just boiling around in his mind and in his heart and in his head? When you think about it, you have to decide what you're going to do. You have to say, am I going to side with the crowd? Am I going to listen to the witnesses? Or am I going to make up my own mind? I want you to see the third question. This verse 17 kind of runs through 21. That kind of asks it and then re-asks it, but it's the same question. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Then in verse, you kind of read this, why sends him a note and this and that. Then in verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus? That was the question. Here Pilate tests the crowd. He knew they were upset, but is their hatred such that they would desire a murderer, a known murderer, to be released unto them and ask for the death of Jesus Christ? And I ask you today, when you look at the character of those that reject Jesus Christ, when you listen to their speech, when you see their vulgarity and their immorality, when you understand that you could not trust them with your own daughter or your own wife, or your own husband, when you understand that they would steal the very things from your home, they would take your purse and the money out of it if they got the chance. Now, you want to side with that group? Or do you want to take a stand for Jesus Christ? Look at what is out in the world today. Make all the they witness against him, but then you look at the character of the witnesses and you say, would these people accept Christ, or would these people condemn an innocent man to death? What were they like? What are they like? And do I want to go with their opinion, or do I want to side with what the Bible tells me and what my heart confirms about Jesus Christ? Whom will ye that I release unto you? It's a hideous thing when you think about it. What a question. Here he has a man before him that he has declared innocent three times. He said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. I find nothing worthy of death in him. He declared him innocent three times. And now, because of what he's hearing from a mob of bloodthirsty people, he's up there vacillating back and forth about his decision. Strange, isn't it? We see the same thing going on today. We see people with enough money being able to buy their way out of charges of murder. We see them stealing billions and billions of dollars, and because they're the CEO of some company, you never hear another thing about it. Bad boy, keep your hand out of the till. But boy, if you stand up for Jesus Christ, you begin to homeschool your kids, they'll haul you off to jail. You go out and you start saying something about carry a Bible to church, they'll throw your kid out of school. You see what's going on? This is the group. They'd say, we'll take the murderer. We'll take the immorality. We'll take the porno star. We'll take the celebrity. We'll take the sports figure. We'll take this. We'll take them any way they come. But for this Jesus, away with him. Away with him. I want you to see the next question. Verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. This question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's interesting that he's asking this very mob. He's asking the very mob that has been telling him, kill him, crucify him.
He said, well, whom will you? You want Barabbas? You want Jesus? They said, we'll take this Barabbas. And now he's saying, well, what do you want me to do with Christ? Isn't that crazy? But that is the question of the ages. What shall I, that's personal, do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Do you realize that every man, woman, and child has to answer this question sooner or later in their life? That is the question. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with him? The decision is the most important one you'll ever make. It is the benchmark of your eternal existence. What you do with Christ decides whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. What you do with Christ, after you get saved, what you do with Christ decides whether you're going to get rewards or lose rewards. It is the paramount decision that one must make. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with him? You say, well, I don't have to do anything with him. Oh, yes, you do. You have to make a decision. You can't ignore it. People try to ignore it. People try to put it off. It's like talking about death. They always want to think it's someone else it's going to happen to. It's always somebody else. It's not now. I'm too young. Not me. I'm too healthy. Not me. Well, sometimes it is you. Sometimes it will be you, sooner or later. The decision you make must be made on your own. You can't let somebody else make it for you. Isn't that something? I wish I could make the decision for you. I wish I could say, listen, this is what you need to do. I wish I could say, okay, let's take a poll. What do you think you need to do? Okay, and I believe the majority of the people in this room would say, you better side with Jesus. You better go with Jesus. But if you did that poll outside of this room, they'd say, oh, forget that nonsense. My wife got a little thing in the mail, back of the Safeway receipt. And it said we could get $10, wasn't it, off the entrance fee to an Arizona Cardinals baseball game. And then it would only be $50 a ticket. And it was $60 normally, admission to a ball game. And I'm thinking to myself, and you got people that'll go out every Sunday to go to these ball games and pay $60 to go in, and when they come to the church house, they complain all they ever want is money. And they throw a dollar in the plate. Well, all they want down the ball field is money, too. If you took a poll at the ball field today, what do you think they would say? If you said, whom will ye? What shall I do then with Jesus? What's the decision here? What should I do? They'd say, shut up. Sit down. We're trying to watch the game. We don't want to hear that religious stuff. That's what they would say. But what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I would say this. If you're not saved, you need to accept him as your Savior. That's the clear-cut thing. If you are saved, then you need to decide whether he's worthy of a position of Lord of your life or not. Is what he's done enough to be your Lord? Is it what he's done enough for you that you would look at him and say, Jesus, I'd rather you took control of my life. What are you going to do with Jesus? You say, well, I accepted him as my Savior. Well, is that then what? Did you put him in the trunk? You got him locked in a little golden box somewhere that you can open and take out when you need to? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's your decision. That's your decision. I want you to see one more question here. The fifth question, verse 23. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. This question really shows the turmoil in Pilate's heart, doesn't it? He knew what was the right thing to do, but he was afraid to face the crowd. I don't understand. Why do you hate him? What did he do? Why do you want this man dead? What has he done to earn your hatred? That's what the question implies.
Why? What evil hath he done? You know, the Bible tells us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And a snare is like a little trap that catches you and won't let you go. And that day, Pilate found out that that snare was very real. The devil uses it often. Try to get you not to do something. Try to get you to not make a decision. Try to get you to not take your stand. Anything he can to keep you where you are right now. I've seen many a time in the invitation where you could see that somebody needed to be saved and God was dealing with their heart and a conviction was all over their face. But they wouldn't move. They wouldn't make a decision. They wouldn't come to the altar. And you say, why? Because of the fear of man. Well, what are these people going to think? What are they going to say? They're going to think I'm some horrible person if I go down there. They're so worried about what people think. Pilate was worried that day. He said, well, what do you want? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? I just want to make you happy, you people. You know what? He didn't make them happy even when he made his decision. He delivered him to be scourged and crucified, and they took him out and they killed him. I'll bet those people never thought any higher of Pilate for that. Pilate walked around. They say tradition has it that he kept washing his hands. Remember, he washed his hands before the multitude and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. No, you're not. You made the decision. You were the governor. It was your job to make the decision that day. And he kept washing those hands and washing those hands. You say, why? He was hoping that he could just get rid of that decision that was wrong that he let the crowd make for him. Why? What evil hath he done? What has Jesus Christ done to you that makes you not want to live for him? What has he done for you or to you that makes you so angry? What has he done that maybe you haven't brought on yourself and you blame it on him? You look at these things, you say, what is it? Why? What evil hath he done? I can tell you this. In my own personal life, I know this to be true. Every problem that I have ever had since I've been saved has been a result of my own doing. Been me. Amen. Been me. When I made the wrong decision concerning Jesus Christ. The most important thing is making the right decision. What evil has he done? What has he done that you would reject him this day? What has he done that would keep you from trusting him and being the Lord of your life? What has he done? Well, I submit to you, he gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. He took the punishment of your sins upon himself. He paid that ransom. He offers to save your soul and to give you the gift of eternal life. He brings peace, joy, and happiness into the heart. He can heal a broken marriage. He can heal a broken family. He can take a life that's ruined and turn it around, rescue it, and make it into something. All those things he does, and he does them all the time. You need to make a decision about Jesus Christ today. Just five simple questions. Simple little message. But I think it's clear. Art thou the King of the Jews? Are you really who you said you were? Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? Whom will ye that I release unto thee, Barabbas or Jesus? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And why? What evil hath he done? You know, Pilate couldn't understand the decision of the multitude. Why would they want him dead? Why were they so angry? And many times as a preacher, I don't understand the decisions that are made. You preach the message, you pray that people will do right, but you can't make the decision for them. And you wonder sometimes, what could I have done more when there's nothing more you could do?
The ball is now in your court. How would you answer? What would you do? Would you choose Jesus Christ today? Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this message that you put on my heart. And I thank you, God, that our Lord and Savior triumphed over all the forces of evil that day. But God, I can't help but think that this message was meant here this morning to reach someone. I just pray that, Father, your Holy Spirit would now point the finger, bring the conviction, bring the power of persuasion necessary to help those that need to come and make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here today that's not truly born again. Maybe they're really not saved. They know it. They've just kind of been playing a game, but the game is over. Maybe there's some here today that's saved and just struggling, and the world seems to be winning the battle most of the time. May today they come and find a refuge in their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now allow Him to be the deliverer that He wants to be. Father, whatever the need, I pray that you'd make your will known. I pray the decisions will be pleasing to you.